2 months ago this week, blind Chinese activist Chen Guangcheng's long confrontation with the government of China ended for now with his arrival in the United States. He is currently a visiting scholar and a student at NYU. Chen will sit down for his first national broadcast interview on this program tomorrow. Chen's focus and passion is on rights for the disabled in his home country and rights for women and the poor. His advocacy for those groups in local communities in China put him at odds with provincial authorities, not so much the national government in Beijing. Chen's dramatic escape from house arrest overshadowed tensions between the national leadership in China and authorities in the provinces who run their affairs sometimes with near total autonomy. We wanted to explore how the Chen case has shaken up local and national authorities in China and to see what has happened since Chen Guangcheng's arrival in the United States. Joining us now is Jonathan Fenby, former editor of the South China Morning Post. His latest book is called Tiger Head, Snake Tales, China Today. He joins us from London. Jonathan, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
How much do you think the Chen case has really exposed a tension between provincial authorities and national authorities in China?
Well, it certainly cast a spotlight on that because, of course, you can't really say that the Chen case was exactly hidden away, you know, in his particular home region of Shandong province because it had received a lot of publicity. The Hollywood actor Christian Bale had tried to visit him and been turned back by the guards around his house. So it was pretty well known. But when he then escaped and made his way to the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, just when Hillary Clinton and Tim Geithner were there for top-level talks with the Chinese. Of course, that moved it onto a higher level, if you like, of attention and publicity. And you then have the reaction from the central government once Chen had flown out of China under the deal that was brokered with the Americans. You had the reaction from the central government that this was all the fault of local officials. And you had kind of semi-inspired articles appearing, for instance, in Hong Kong, which were saying, oh, you know, the central government had been very shocked by all this, and this was just the work of local thuggish governments. Well, it may have been the work of local governments, but certainly for a long time, it was kind of, you know, Beijing was either encouraging it or certainly closing its eyes to it.
In the closing its eyes scenario, do you think that the behavior and the tactics and the strategy of local authorities in China are a damper on any initiative? And again, this is abstract because we don't know if there is any initiative for reform or modernization or, you know, moving towards an embrace of market capitalism in China and that they're a constraint?
Well, I would say yes, in general. I mean, there is a certain reformist discourse now, which you're hearing in China from some people, some mainly think tanks high up in Beijing, and the man who runs the province of Guangdong in the south across from Hong Kong, which is China's richest province. The provincial party secretary there, Wang Yang, has been talking about the need to guarantee and respect citizens' rights, which are laid down in the Chinese constitution. Of course. So you have got that discourse going on in China, but then you've got local authorities acting still in a pretty free and easy way. For instance, there was a well-known dissident, Li Wangyang, who'd been in jail for 22 years after the Tiananmen crackdown in 89, and he was recently found dead, hanged by a sheet in his prison medical cell. And there's been a lot of doubt officially. There have been two inquests in him, although the body's been cremated, which found that he committed suicide. But there have been big demonstrations in Hong Kong against that. And then in Hangzhou, on the east coast of China, you've had a dissident poet who's just been sentenced to jail for 7 years for writing a poem calling on people to exercise their own rights. So this is a very patchy picture.
Ironically, then, as we think about democratic reform insofar as we can in China, does the national government have a problem needing to assert more control over local authorities to move forward? And so the dominance of the National Communist Party would increase as reforms move forward?
Yes, I mean, this is an old, old thing. This predates communism in China. This goes back to the early imperial period when the saying was, you know, of local authorities, I respect the emperor so long as he stays on the other side of the mountain and lets me get on with my local business. This is an ongoing tension in Chinese life and Chinese politics. And what you found in the process of economic liberalisation, as far as it's gone over the last 34 years, that actually that the centre has often depended on local authorities to boost up spending and boost up growth. And we had that when they had this huge stimulus package starting at the end of 2008, after the downturn then. The central government very much let local authorities get on with it. They gave them huge amounts of credit, and you had the return of strong growth in China. Now the central government is trying to damp that down. It's trying to bring down the runaway, out-of-control economy in China. And really, this whole legal issue, the whole citizens' rights issue, forms a part of that.
We're talking with Jonathan Fenby, former editor of the South China Morning Post. His latest book on China is called Tiger Head, Snake Tails, China Today. We're going to be speaking with Cheng Guangcheng on this program. He's going to give an interview to us. I'm wondering if you had a question that you would want to ask him if you were face-to-face.
Well, I'd like to ask him whether he thinks that what has happened to him over the last couple of months has had an effect in China on, as I say, the ability of lawyers like him just to carry out their basic job and, you know, to have more, be able to be more reliant on what is laid down in the Constitution and in the law, or whether he thinks that this kind of Wild West scenario of local authorities doing as they want is just inbred into the system. And sorry, that's rather a long question, but
no, we'll put it to him. We'll absolutely put it to him. And, you know, indeed, as you suggest, and as Cheng Guangcheng himself have suggested, the reform movement in China may depend more on this local advocacy for vulnerable groups than it does in, global kind of spectacles that we've been accustomed to in the past. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jonathan Fenby is a former editor of the South China Morning Post. His latest book on China is called Tiger Head, Snake Tails, China Today.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.